Great. We're going to be reading from John chapter 4, verses 23 to 42. It's quite a long reading. We're going to read it all, but because it's long, I'll go at a good pace. John 4, starting at verse 23. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman. But no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, Has anyone brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed with them 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Over to Tom.
Well, let me start with a question. Do we understand the times that we live in? Now, a quick Google search offers that this age will be known as the digital age, the age of AI, where information is available to all. It also offers the global revolution, or the epoch of Elon Musk, King Charles, funnily enough. Now, it's one thing to be able to define the age that we live in. It's another thing being able to know how to navigate these times, to understand them. Now, I know nothing about finance, so please forgive me if I get this terribly wrong, but I'm told that when it comes to predicting markets, you have people whose job it is to forecast the future, to get insight into trends. It's all about analyzing data. What's going to be the best use of our time and resources? What should we prioritize? You know, what are we going to invest in? Now, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, do we understand the times that we live in? Well, today's passage gives us perspective. It helps us understand the times that we live in. And that's because the one who has a bigger view has told us, and his name is Jesus. Look at what Jesus tells us in verse 35. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. What time is it? Jesus says, it's harvest time. It's harvest time. Well, why should we listen to Jesus? Well, look back to chapter 3, verse 31. Now, a man called John the Baptist, a prophet that God promised 700 years ago in the Old Testament, who would pave the way for the Lord God, well, he's testified that Jesus is the one who is from above, the one from God the Father. And because he's the one who's from above, he has perspective. He knows what's going on. And Jesus says, it's harvest time. If you're taking notes, point number one, it's harvest time. And the harvest is all about, as we've been seeing in John's gospel, life. That time where anyone can receive life when they come to Jesus. And we've been seeing the kind of life, if you've been coming along to the lunchtime talks, that Jesus offers life to the full. L, capital, life with a capital L. And Jesus' miracle of turning water into wine, chapter 2, verse 10, 1,000 bottles worth of top shelf stuff, proved that Jesus had come to restore his people and bring the abundant life that God promised. And later on in John's account, Jesus says that I have come to give life and so that people may have it abundantly. Jesus has come to give life to the full. Hashtag good life. But most importantly, Jesus has come to give eternal life, to save us from God's judgment, and surprisingly, through his death. Look at verse 23. Notice the hour. As you read through John's accounts, you'll notice that Jesus mentions the hour a lot. This hour where Jesus would fulfill God's promises to save us from the consequences of sin and make eternal life available to everyone who believes. You may be familiar with John chapter 3, verse 16. Look across to John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This is how eternal life has been made possible for everyone. Jesus' judgment-bearing death won us life. And so harvest time is all about salvation, receiving eternal life from God. And as we heard from the reading, it's a time where God, chapter 4, verse 23, is seeking true worshippers. No longer do you need to come to a temple, to a place to worship God, but now you can come to a person, to Jesus. And it's a time when anyone can become a true worshipper of God, even someone like the Samaritan woman, someone outside the Jewish nation, someone without access to the temple, an outsider with a checkered history, a representative of the whole world, someone like us. Even they can receive eternal life that Jesus is offering. And did you notice? It's just by listening to Jesus. Look at verse 39. And now a whole harvest of Samaritans have heard Jesus' words of life for themselves and believed. Read with me from verse 41. And many more believed because of his words. And they said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Jesus is the Savior of the world. And as Jesus' words go out into the world, well, signs of life are sprouting up everywhere. This is the age of the promised Messiah, God's King. He's here. Jesus has come. God's promised and gathering of the nations has begun. A harvest. And because it's harvest time, Jesus wants us to, point two, get hungry for the harvest. Point two, get hungry for the harvest and not sandwiches. Now, it's an extraordinary moment, isn't it? This Samaritan woman, this representative of the nations, she's just had this life-giving encounter with Jesus. In verse 28, she drops her water jar, she goes back to her town, and verse 29, she tells the town about Jesus. Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? And they went out of the town and were coming to him. The first evangelist from the nations shares the good news about Jesus and the town is coming out to see for themselves. That's an extraordinary moment. And you can imagine, can't you, these heads on the horizon, these shapes getting bigger and bigger and bigger as people come towards Jesus. A white harvest, ripe and ready. But I wonder if you notice what Jesus' disciples are thinking about. Look at verse 31. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, saying, "Rabbi, eat." They're thinking about sandwiches. They're blind to the times. They're blinded by their bellies. It's so easy to lose perspective, isn't it? To get distracted by what we think is more important than the spiritual reality that's going on around us. Jesus' words are bringing you life. I mean, what's more important, more exciting than that? And Jesus says, wake up, look up, don't lose sight of what's going on around you. Understand the times, get the right perspective. Christ has come. The time for ingathering has arrived. As long as today is today. Take your eyes off your tummies and get hungry for the nations coming to Christ. That's the food that Jesus wants the disciples and us to be most concerned with. Now, Jesus isn't saying don't have a sandwich. I mean, there's a tasty selection of sandwiches down at Pret just up the road that you can bring along to St. Nick's on a Thursday. But it is interesting, isn't it, that Jesus is so pumped for the harvest that he completely forgets about lunch. I mean, this has been a really strong rebuke to me because, as you can tell from my physique, I love a good sandwich, I love a good lunch, but am I so hungry for the harvest that I completely forget about material needs and remember the reality of what Jesus is doing in the world through his word right now? Do I have this perspective? Am I prioritizing that? Am I investing in what's important? You know, am I making the most of my lunch breaks by being fed myself and helping others to get fed by bringing them along to a lunchtime talk? You know, that eternal food that won't perish. Am I meeting over a sandwich to hear Jesus' life-giving words? Am I carving out time to read the Bible with a friend? Am I using 10 minutes on my lunch break to go and share the gospel with somebody out on the street in London? Because I don't know if you've noticed, but all the nations are here, holding out Jesus' words of life to the nations. The harvest is in London. And you'll know that feeling when you've shared the good news of Jesus with somebody. It's been so exciting that you've completely forgotten about your rumbly tummy. I mean, that's the food that Jesus talks about in verse 34. It's exciting stuff. That's the excitement that Jesus wants us to have here. The harvest is here. Are we as hungry as Jesus is for it? Let's get hungry for the harvest, not sandwiches. And Jesus gives us even further motivation. Because it's harvest time, the harvest is ready for harvesting. So, point three, get harvesting. Point three, get harvesting. Read with me from verse 35. Do you not say, there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already, the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into that labor. Jesus says, lift up your eyes and see that the harvest is ripe. The harvest is ready. Now, Jesus doesn't say just give it a month or another day and then get the combine harvester out. Because Jesus, God's King, has come, the time is now. The ears of the corn, if you like, are heavy and ready. People are ripe for salvation. Get harvesting. Don't miss out on the excitement. Now, perhaps in the context where you are, in the office, it might not seem exactly ripe. You may not be seeing signs of life. But once you go looking for the harvest, well, you start to see signs of life popping up everywhere. Perhaps here on a Thursday at lunchtime. And every so often, the fruit just seems to kind of fall into your hand. We do walk-up evangelism on a Sunday after church in southeast London. And 9 out of 10 conversations end in rejection. But door knocking at Christmas last year, we met a Muslim guy who is now coming along to church and is reading John's Gospel in his native language. The harvest is ripe. And Jesus motivates us with verse 36, eternal fruit. The only thing that lasts into eternity is people. The only thing that matters this side of the new world or heaven is trust in Jesus for salvation. So what will we remember as we look back? Well, it'll be the people who have received eternal life only found in Jesus Christ. It puts this side of the new creation into perspective, doesn't it? And what's really exciting from these verses is the corporate nature of the harvest. We're all in this together in verse 36. As sower and reaper rejoice together. As we sit here at a lunchtime talk on a Thursday, we get a wee glimpse, if you like, of our final joy. That final joy that we'll receive when we're in the new creation. When we look back and think of our partnership in the gospel. That work that Jesus has given us to do. Now, as we stand together on that final day and look at those who we've helped along the way, I mean, it's going to be amazing, isn't it? I mean, can you imagine the joy, what it's going to feel like? And what's even more exciting is the hard graft has already been done. Our job is easy, in a sense. All we have to do is come along and pluck the ripe fruit. Look at verse 37. I was really surprised by this. For here the saying holds true, says Jesus. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. Now I take this labor to be everyone that has come before in the build up to Jesus Christ. All the prophets down through the Old Testament who labored. And finally, Jesus, who completed that work on the cross. The hard labor of salvation is done. Like the disciples, we reap the benefits of Jesus' completed salvation work. We're all part of this great harvest down through history. And we're at, if you like, the ripe end of it. You know, like a child at the blackberry bush. We just pluck that fresh, juicy fruit. And as it's harvest time, as we share the gospel, well, we're continuing to sow. Verse 37, as one sows, another reaps. The work goes on and on and on. We may not see the fruit of the labor, but we're all links in the same chain. That Samaritan woman, that small ragtag bunch of Jesus' disciples, from such small, insignificant beginnings to today, against all human odds, the nations are coming to Christ. I mean, take, for example, the rapid growth in China. 67 million Christians today, with no signs of stopping. The life-giving news of Jesus is unstoppable, irrepressible growth. Now, we may not see fruit as we sow now, but there will be eternal fruit as another gospel laborer reaps down the line. We're all part of this harvest work. We're all links in the chain, serving this great harvest. Now you may be someone here who would not yet call yourself a Christian. Well, we're so glad that you're here. can I encourage you that this harvest is for you? This is a time when you can look into the evidence for Jesus from one of the eyewitness accounts, like John's Gospel. Consider the claim of life that Jesus offers. Now's the time. Prod, probe, poke that evidence. Challenge it. Ask questions. Ask a Christian why they're a Christian. They'd love that. And please take away a copy of John's Gospel. I know that there's some floating around here. Take it away. Read it. Jesus claims to offer life. Interrogate it. Because if Jesus does offer life, life to the full, eternal life, salvation from God's judgment, well, it's worth taking seriously. And you can't argue with the results of the Christian faith, can you? It's spread and impact on the world. I mean, there's been a harvest of people coming to follow Jesus based on the evidence of his life, death, and resurrection. And there's no signs of it stopping today. Now, from a human perspective, the profound impact of Christianity doesn't make sense. How can a crucified man who claimed to be God's king gain such a following, be so successful? Well, I don't have it on me, but this summer I've been reading this book called The Air We Breathe by a chap called Glenn Scrivener, who speaks about how the social and cultural values have been shaped by Christianity. It's the air we breathe, he says. And he says this in his book. The triumph of the Jesus movement has defied all human expectations. Whatever your views about miracles, everyone must grapple with an extraordinary life from the dead occurrence in the first century. No one who had seen Jesus' followers on the day after his death, dejected, scared and leaderless, and hiding for the fear of the authorities, would have expected their movement would shape history in the way that it has. Something was unleashed on the world 20 centuries ago, such that from an ignominious death, life has burst out. You can't argue with the results of the harvest. The growth defies logic. Undeniable results. Consider the evidence for yourself. See why billions have come to trust in the life that Jesus offers. See what you make of these claims to life. And if you're a follower of Jesus, have you understood the times that we live in? That because Jesus, God's promised King, the Savior of the world, has come to offer life to everyone, today it's harvest time. A time of eternal joy where the nations are being gathered in, are coming to know Jesus as King. Are we hungry for the harvest? Well, let's listen to Jesus, the one who has the perspective, and prioritize his vision. Let's invest in eternity. Let's get harvesting. Allow me to lead us in prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for revealing yourself to us through the Lord Jesus. I thank you that his words are life. Thank you that Jesus has come to give life to the full. Thank you that Jesus has come to give eternal life. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the message of salvation. What this world needs is going out to the corners of the earth. That it's coming to, that people are coming to know Jesus in as far-flung places as New Zealand. In places like Iraq and Iran. Places under severe persecution against all odds. Thank you that Jesus' life is unstoppable. And we pray, Father, with the wonderful opportunity that we have in London, that we would share these words of life with others. Please give us boldness, and please help us to go out knowing that it is harvest time, and that we would speak these words of life to others. Please empower us to do that by your Spirit, we pray. And we pray for those who considering the evidence for themselves. Please reveal the wonderful life that you have given to us through Jesus to them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.